Forever! Dog!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
The Zoom year that we've all had, like, it's gonna be strange, like the terms we all use now. What's gonna become of muting yourself, the term muting yourself?
She came to this party and she didn't even clap in.
And like, will you go to therapy and be like, why do you feel the need to mute yourself?
She's the kind of person where she freezes and she blames everybody else. Oh my God, you're all frozen, not me. And it's like, oh my God, what a giveaway.
It's like I'm with her, but she's not turning on her video. You know what I mean?
There's like a lag. I can tell that she's like checking her phone.
There's definitely a lag between us. I mean, yeah. Our relationship.
All right, you guys are answering my question. Welcome to Treks in the City. I don't know why I had to do that.
I need to start playing Treks. So that when you're going like that, I can start going like, boom.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was also thinking. But I'm going to, play my, okay.
That doesn't sound real.
It doesn't. Yeah. Here is the, okay. Welcome to.
Nueve de la mañana.
Drive Time Radio.
Siempre presente.
Siempre presente. Did I say that right?
Sí.
No. Oh, sí.
Sí. Sí. Relájate. Sí.
Sí. Puerto abierto.
Wow. Our guest in this episode is...
I'm sorry. Spanish in the building.
Spanish in the building. His stage name. But you might know him from stage and screen. He's also a writer. Mm-hmm. How to do improv. I'm already getting the title wrong.
That's
welcome,
totally
Will
right.
Hines.
Hi. Thank you. Hi.
Right, they're just laughing.
Wow, immediately okay. Funny.
Wow, I crushed it immediately.
What's the title of your book that you wrote?
How to be the greatest improviser on earth.
Okay. Not yeah. How to do, for some reason in my mind, I had made it how to do improv like a god. And then as I was saying it, I was like, I don't think Will would.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the right idea. I believe in over-promising titles.
That you didn't use that title, actually.
Yeah, it's along the same lines, and it's a better one. How to do improv like a god, bitch. Yeah, just real hostile and aggressive. Just the title really makes or breaks the audience. Like,
you're with me or not?
It self-selects. I like titles that have like a lot of. I don't have a lot of swagger in my life. I tend to hide behind a cushion of self-deprecation.
But I like it. Are you kidding me? You have tons of swagger. When I see you walking down the street, it's like...
No, he doesn't. I saw
this. This is when Will walks down the street. Yeah.
No, it's not true.
He's wearing a wide collar.
Because even though he does walk in the street like that, and everywhere he goes, there is some kind of piano.
Walking past Fred 62, like, I don't need that heat outside.
I saw your post, Will, and I was horrified, but I didn't say anything because I was going to catch you here soon enough.
That's fine.
About reusing the coffee grinds.
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what post is that? I don't know about it.
On Instagram, my Instagram story,
it's not okay.
I'll make two pots of coffee. So I'll do my first pot in a little French press. I'm showing it to you right now, French press. Mm-hmm. And then for my second pot, I'll reuse the grounds. I'll just pour a bunch of new hot water and reuse the coffee grounds a second time. And
fired.
It makes this kind of very weak second pot. And I took a photograph of that because it was such like a light brown sort of amber liquid. And I put it on my Instagram story, like, this is my pot of coffee. And it drove people insane. I'd say it was definitely the most provocative post I've done in my career. And it got me more attention than anything that I've done. I had like 50 people chiming back just, no, stop it. This is an aberration. I mean, people
the
were
most traffic.
Yeah. I kept posting it for a couple days because I love the attention. So I did another pot the next day and posted it.
It's really fun. Will,
you're such an edgelord.
Yeah. I'm an edgelord.
Coffee edgelord.
Me and Ben Shapiro. So, we're like both just super trolls.
I really own the libs with that coffee post.
I own the libs. The libs could not handle my weak coffee. The libs were going nuts.
I kind of do that too with the Chemex. Like, I don't wait like a long time, but I pour once and then I pour over the same pour, like kind of, I do a half pour over that same pour, which I think is actually, coffee people would also say is an aberration.
People get mad at it, but like coffee beans are so potent. Like I buy these, like I buy Starbucks beans, I guess, which are not necessarily the most potent, but they're like well made coffee beans and they pack a punch. Like
they do. They pack
and
a
like,
punch.
And I feel like even my memory of coffee when I was like younger is that it used to be weaker, but
used
we
to be
keep
weaker.
Like
well, where did you
upping
grow up?
The intensity. I grew up in an asshole. I grew up in the asshole of a giant. No, I grew up in New England, Connecticut.
Okay.
Okay, that's
I also think, I'm from the Midwest, and
yeah,
where I come from, coffee is like
Midwest was
coffee-flavored tea.
Yeah, the coasts like bumped up their coffee intensity first, I think. The beans are already so strong. I can get a second pot out of these, and they'll be like, it'll be all right. It'll be like... My second pot of coffee is as strong as a first pot would have been in like 1990, I think. And people like freak out. And it's like,
it's like void. It's an aberration. It's not okay.
It really offends people.
It's not that it's the coffee's weaker. It's that you've made a different thing because pre-used grounds,
it's
like
not coffee.
They're
it's
wet,
not
right? So you're doing some sort of other... But I'm sure in like, think about it in like 10 years and whatever he's doing now is going to be like the new chaga reishi coffee or whatever. Like pre-soaked half fermented beans or whatever.
It's definitely not like, it's weird that it's so horrifying because it's definitely not like damaging ultimately, you know?
It's definitely harmless.
It's not child trafficking.
Yeah, it's not. I'm doing, if anything, I'm
it's
saving
no
money. I'm saving grounds. It's only being done
it's no
to
abuse.
Me.
It's actually
it's really
great.
Like nobody's business. And like, I
you
put the picture
it online
because I did because the
art.
Color, like the tint,
the
hue of the water looked kind of, I was holding it up to the sun and it like looked kind of cool to me.
Limpy.
Yeah. Art. It was like art.
Flipped around on you and slapped you in the face.
And my
art
audience
flipped on you.
Did not like it.
It's so good. I love it that happened to you.
I'm going to keep doing it. I've never felt more powerful than when I got all my friends mad that I have kind of weak coffee after I have a pot of regular coffee.
My mom's coffee is like, she's from the Midwest and my mom's coffee is the opposite of it. It's like when you grew up in the Catholic Church and so you're like super anti-Catholic, like her coffee is like completely opaque.
Yeah. Cause she grew up with weak coffee and she's rebelling against that.
Yeah, so you have one, it's like a pure espresso, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
With a range of coffee. But the house in the afternoon is like kind of weak. It's kind of like a very weak version of the first time around with that French thing.
Yeah. I can't believe this, but I have another story about coffee. If
is it like this?
This is so quarantine.
This is a good one. This is a good one.
this is so better. Quarantine.
Yeah, this is like so quarantine. Like, oh my God.
We're ready.
Okay, I used to, back when I had a day job lifetimes ago, we had like, my office had like
okay,
one of those.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah, I'm
You're
a creative
successful.
Person. I'm doing all right. That's the real message here. So like, it had like a coffee pod, like Keurig machine, you know, where you would like put in the little pod and like brew a pot of coffee. And it was single serving pod. So you'd put in one and it would just get you one cup of coffee, right? Which when we got it, the office was like, oh, this is so great. Everyone's going to get like a fresh, your cup of coffee will be very freshly brewed. The pod that you use is just for you. Like how indulgent are we that it's one pod per cup of coffee? Like we're really, I don't know. It was indulgent. But one dude that I sat next to, that wasn't enough. He realized that the coffee that came out of the pod, the first half of it was very, very strong. And then the second half was like weaker. So he would get two mugs. And in the first mug, he would put the first half of the water, and then he would catch the second half in the second mug, put a second pot in, get the first half again in a mug, and then the second half. So he was getting the first half of two different pods because he observed that was even stronger. And I was like, maybe it doesn't need to be that strong. You don't need to hack your single pod coffee thing so that you have better coffee than everybody in the office. This guy was an asshole.
You have to hack it.
He's like, oh, I have a little secret. I'm getting like more caffeine than anybody.
He's so dumb. He's like a dog.
My weak coffee is in protest of that man that I knew 25 years ago.
It's an interesting conversation because it really attacks, I think, a white supremacist privilege, because we have these people on the white internet being like, your coffee aberration is pissing me off so much that I'm going to give you and I'm going to give you more attention than I've ever given you before because of this. But this guy doing the most privileged thing would be celebrated for hacking, like figuring out how to make.
Oh, yeah.
And all he does is make it more wasteful. And it's like,
yes.
we gotta think about our priorities here and let people have whatever they want to drink.
He definitely thought he was a hero. And unfortunately, I think you're right. I think more people would side with him than with me. They'd be like, oh, give me that coffee hack. Let me figure out how to get better coffee. And but I did not. I did not side with him. I'm still mad at him.
You're a hero.
It's been 2 decades. Yeah, I think I'm a hero.
I watch so many YouTube videos like all day, all the time. And
so that's what you're doing.
That's why I don't watch TV shows, because I'm on YouTube. And I'd like never understand any dislike. I'm always like, unless it's like
a lot of
terribly
things,
offensive. But there's a lot of what I watch is people giving classes, just like free putting stuff out there, you know?
Somebody being like,
no.
People putting thumbs down on videos.
Yes.
Here's how you fix this coffee grinder.
Yeah.
It's a little hard because you need a special tool, but I'll show you how to do it. It's like, dislike.
Oh, downvoting. Downvoting is like such a power high of people. Like if you ever go on Reddit, it's
I'm on
just
Reddit.
Like,
are you on Reddit? Let's be friends on Reddit. I know I'm people don't do that, but I love Reddit.
I like Reddit too, and just people love to downvote.
I love
kind
Reddit.
Of just to express their power, but they also love to shame each other's downvotes. Like something will get a lot of downvotes, and then there'll be responses like, why did this get downvoted? The person's just saying their opinion. Downvote isn't disagree, you guys. And there'll be like a little spiral argument about downvoting and the politics thereof. I love it.
I love it so much too.
It's just think of it. Like we start the internet, like we're cavemen, and then we are like, oh, cavemen with internet. And then suddenly everything's just like a symbol, like a little heart or like, you know, so everything's reduced to just
that's
bad.
True.
So it's like, it's too binary. Like, oh, I do this. I like you or not. Like,
our brains have evolved to be like we're painting in caves
and then we
make a whole internet and then we're still painting the same symbols on the internet.
Yeah, we didn't agree on what they're going to even mean. So like to some people, things mean something else. And now we're all global. But to Venezuelans, things are different. Like everything's different in Venezuela. Yeah. Like the way I interact in American online with the same two symbols is like radically different.
When a Venezuelan puts a heart on your comment, what they're saying is, I'm cold right now. Get me a blanket. It has got nothing to do with what
nothing
you're saying.
Nothing to do with love.
They think of
if it's a comment, is the number two on the menu. And
the
if
barf emoji is actually
a
proposal.
It's a photo, you know they're asking you for something else.
Yeah, it's totally different.
There's a list. There's a secret menu.
So, Will Hines. Welcome to... What?
Welcome to Treks in the City. This is a Star Trek.
Did you almost say Puerto Rico?
No, I was going to say Puerto Abierto. I was trying to say door open, but I don't know how to say open. Cerrado is closed, right? How do you say open?
Abierto is open. You did
abierta.
It.
Ah. But with door, puerta, it would be abierta with an A.
Okay. Puerta abierta. Yeah. That'd be my name. Door open.
That would be your
name? Like my wrestler name. If I was in a Spanish, you know, a Mexican wrestling league, I want to be Puerta Abierta. Oh, the door
He's
is
so
open.
So vulnerable.
Yeah, emotionally vulnerable.
The vulnerable fighter. TNG Phantasm. So, Will, for everyone out there, what's your trek to start your Star Trek like history? What's your history with Star Trek?
Okay, I love Star Trek.
Sorry, it makes no sense. No reason to have that.
That one made zero sense.
It's fun though. I do feel like I'm entering a portal or going into a new realm.
There you go.
Puerta Abierta. It's Puerta Abierta's turn.
Puerta Abierta. I'm a medium plus Star Trek fan. I'm a nerd in general and a medium plus Star Trek fan. I probably should be a super obsessive Star Trek fan, but it didn't quite happen. So what I grew up loving the original series. Next Generation came out when I was in high school and I watched it a bunch and then kind of left the Star Trek world for a while. I didn't watch Deep Space Nine or Voyager.
When you watched TNG, were you like super into it or no?
Super into it.
Who was your favorite? Like, tell us more about that.
I mean, I thought I love Data. Data's my favorite character because I relate to him. And you know, I was enamored with Picard. Like, having grown up with the original series, it was hard to imagine anybody besides Shatner because his personality was such a big part of the original Star Trek show.
Right.
But then when you see Patrick Stewart, it's like, oh, this is like a better way. This is a better energy for the vibe of the show. I prefer too. Next Generation to me is the best.
Less murdery for sure. Patrick Stewart. William Shatner killed his wife.
We don't know. This is conversation.
That's a story. We broke it here.
Yeah. I had not heard that, so I believe it, and I will help the prosecution. I'm 100% on board.
So, but how old were you when you started watching TNG? Was that like detrimental to 15? Your life, or was it like
15? No,
you were pretty much already who you were.
No, not at 15.
No, I still had several seismic changes to go, I guess. More of a music person, so like what bands I liked had more to do with how I was thinking of myself than Star Trek. Star Trek was something I enjoyed and I liked, but I did not like embrace it as like part of my identity. You know what I mean? I really loved it. And
you were like into Bare Naked Ladies and stuff?
I was super into like Bare Naked Ladies. They were my life. They were my whole life, you know?
That's like me with Dawson's Creek, I think. Or it was like in my life.
Yeah.
It was in my life.
Like Dawson's. Yeah, yeah. It's there's things that you like and you just enjoy them as an audience member, and there's things that you like where you invest your ego into them, like you want them to represent you, and you're like, this is
like
me.
Game of Thrones. I am definitely from.
Yeah, okay, it could so, be.
For real, it what bands be. Were you into at this time?
We're talking like late 80s, right? So it's like I was into the new wave era that I thought I had just missed, like Talking Heads, Elvis Costello, Flash, like sort of hipster. I mean, I didn't have that word yet, but like would be like hipster new wave music was what I loved.
They Might Be
Giants had just come out and I loved They Might Be Giants. I want to be that band.
You are that band to me.
Great. That's the biggest compliment
like
you could
those
give
guys.
Me. That I love
you, like,
it.
Have
I mean,
similar,
every
yeah.
Everything that they, I mean, I don't, they're probably, they're not even as, they had their best, their biggest moment in the early 90s, and although they're still some people's favorites, I could imagine that a lot of people still haven't heard of them or don't know much of them.
I'm like,
but
I don't know, but maybe I've heard them. Like, if you play a song, I know.
You probably have heard some of their songs a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
They had their moment, and it's kind of now just like a cult, a passionate cult following for a lot of, I'm wearing
but
a t-shirt right
cult,
now.
Cult following makes it sound like it's bad for some reason.
That's true. Cult has a bad connotation. They have a very devoted but small audience that has.
Yeah, they're niche. They're like a niche. Maybe they're nerd rock. It's totally nerd rock, but also kids get into it because it's very verbally playful. And
I feel like, yes, kids get into it. I think high school honors students, like high school kids with good grades get into They Might Be Giants. And then it's just a question of whether they get over it or not. I never
people
got over
with
it.
Swords. People who
people
own
with
swords,
swords and do Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, little organized people who are a little removed from their bodies.
Yeah,
love They Might Be Giants. They're definitely like a smarty pants band. You probably
this
know
is
Veronica.
Istanbul.
Istanbul, not Constantinople or Particle Man. Probably or Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Is this too loud, you guys? You let me know.
It's loud, but I dig it. There you go. That's good.
Now this is the part you might...
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, now Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. So take me back to Constantinople.
Okay, well, anyway.
Go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, why did Constantinople
get the works? Nobody says it's about the Turks. Yeah.
That's
it rules. It rules. It rules. So there you go.
Veronica, I think like half of the people you have dated have been obsessed with They Might Be Giants.
I'm going to agree there.
Yeah, like every nerd that you've dated, which is at least 50% of your ex-boyfriends, they're into it. Big.
And will you know that, right? Because you and you have been...
Me and Veronica, we're UCB friends. We go way back.
But I had one boyfriend.
Okay, well, he's into them. he's the one I'm talking about.
Yes, he's into them.
Yeah.
He didn't share that with you, but he is.
I'm sure he is.
I'm pretty sure. This all sounds like hipster things that the white guys had like mm-hmm. would like. Mm-hmm. So no offense. Mm.
Yeah, no, none taken.
Yeah, he owns it.
I have the patriarchy to protect me. I don't need your approval.
So
that was both like a.
So, but I love Next
Brag.
Generation the most. Yeah, I loved it, and then I kind of went away from it, and I was not a completist. And then when I was, you know, I can't remember my 30s or something. I met all these people where it was like, oh no, it is the best show. You did not appreciate it enough. And I kind of went back and watched a lot of episodes with a new eye. Like, oh, I missed, this was like much, I enjoyed it as sort of like, oh yeah, it's fun. But then I went, when it was on Netflix or something, I like rewatched a bunch of episodes and was like, oh yeah, this was like really good.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office. I was live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime.
I chose you for this episode kind of because I gave you the choice of two episodes.
I chose you.
Because
there was two episodes and I was like, I thought you were a big TNG head, like along the,
I seem like
cause
I
you,
would be.
Yeah. Cause you seem like you would be, you also, I've heard you in other shows and podcasts make references to the show. So
That
makes me feel like.
Darmok and Galad at Tanakhra is like one of my all time favorite television episodes of any show ever.
Yes.
That's beyond Star Trek to me. That's like this insanely beautiful little play.
Yeah.
So that one I'll talk about. Like that's higher. That's even bigger than just like Star Trek. That's just like this amazing story.
And I love that it's still a cultural touch point because you can see like people use, you know, Shaka when the walls fell to describe a fail on the internet still, which is like brings me endless amounts of joy. It's like, that's one of those times when I'm like, well, I'm glad the internet's still here.
I love every bit of that episode. I love it as a sci-fi idea, the emotions that get played out, the drama. It's pretty perfect. I tear up at the end. Like, when Picard has like figured everything out and he's like full of fire to like rectify these two cultures. I'm like, this is insanely awesome.
Mm-hmm. And he speaks the language to the people on the screen.
He's got that Patrick Stewart eloquence. Like it truly moves me. Like it goes, sometimes I'm watching Star Trek or any kind of sci-fi show and there's a little bit of irony. There's a little bit of like, oh, this is cute. Oh, they're doing their like little Star Trek thing. And oh, this is kind of tropey. But sometimes I am just swept up and all the irony is gone. And I am just awash in the primal goodness of the show.
That's right. Will feels real emotions.
Profunda.
It's this episode for me is not quite as emotionally resonant, but it is probably my top five.
It's really good.
Maybe, if not, maybe my first choice of episodes.
Wow, top five.
It is for me.
Alice,
Phantasms.
What's going on? Tell us. Because
I can only, I've watched it like 100 times, yeah, it feels like. And top this five? Episode, I can't. First of all, when I first got back into Star Trek again after moving to Los Angeles, when I had no friends except for the people I knew from New York, and so I would just hang out with those people and watch Star Trek.
Control Pat, tiny violin.
Okay. Whoa! anytime anybody says tiny violin, it's weird, right? Because, like, how would you explain that turn of phrase to aliens? Like, so if somebody's tiny, like, tiny, oh, violin. Tiny violin, aliens would be like,
yeah. Yeah.
Wait.
What are you talking about? Right. They wouldn't get it.
They're like, so then they try it and they're like, tiny trombone. And everybody's like, ew, that's disgusting. Oh, man. Anyway, so I watched, and this was my in. This episode was my way back in. I remember watching a cluster of episodes and then seeing this one and being like, whoa, you know, I love the way that they describe dreams. Any show that does dreams really well, you know, first of all, yeah, is like super fascinating to me because, you know, a lot of shows will do dreams in this really cliche way that's more, yeah, about exposition than it is about really creating the. And then on rewatching, I can literally only find two things wrong.
Yeah.
Which with most episodes of this show, I can find like 45 things wrong with the episode, okay, even though it's a good episode. You know,
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah. Because, yeah,
it's like
any TV show.
Any TV show. You're a and for me, this episode is. It's so well done. The only thing I really hate about it is that they make Troy into the damsel, and they always do that.
Okay.
That's the one thing. And then there's this other thing, and I actually forgot what it was because it's even, yeah, more minor than that, but I'll find it when we get into the episode. So we've already covered Data's dreaming ability in another episode, and they kind of explained it away. But now we get into it when Data's like experimenting in his dreams now because he has his dream program. So now he's like running the dream program when he, yeah, you know, goes to sleep at night. So this is the cold open-ish. Yeah, not ish.
We had,
really
we had
is.
Already, we had revealed that Data had now a dream program that got activated suddenly.
It's a really good opening.
Data, there you are. We need to install that plasma conduit right away. We're bringing the new warp core online in less than 3 hours.
I will go to Deck 20 and begin modifications.
Great. I'll meet you in engineering as soon as you're finished there. This ought to be a lot of fun.
Great line.
Yeah.
They could have said anything weird, but they held back.
It's still pretty weird.
I know, but it's like not, you know what I mean?
Here's a phone ringing and sees three
excuse
workers.
Excuse me.
Workmen.
Do you have authorization to work in this area?
Yeah, Data. You go, Data.
You are dismantling a warp plasma conduit.
Tell it with
I
Data.
I must ask you to
Data's
stop.
Like an uppity neighbor.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
They're coming for him.
It's weird. This is... And now the workmen are ripping him apart.
Rip his head off. And then we see it was all a dream. Fantastic.
Data makes no attempt at wearing a pajama.
No, he does
no,
not.
No, he just
wear
sleeps
a
in his outfit.
He's just like, yeah. He yeah. could. He's trying so hard. He got a cat. Like,
yeah.
Just wear a pajama.
This episode,
I don't understand. It's so baffling.
Yeah, you'd be a very funny advisor for Data. I wish to be more human. Well, just wear a pajama. What
like
are you
a,
even doing?
I'd be like a good duo with Data for sure.
Like, does he? One discussion we've had a lot is like, does he poop?
Yes.
I'd be like, Data, let me watch you poop, and he probably let me. I would probably be able to do whatever I want with Data.
He would know, though, that it's not a human custom. He'd be like, this isn't really something that humans do.
But I'd be like, you're the only one who would understand me. And then just keep being weird.
All right. You already have a plan to get Data to let you watch him poop.
I have a plan to let Data let me do anything.
That's crazy that is one thing that's taking up space in your brain.
Yeah. If you were a writer for the show, your episodes would be very easy to pick out. Is it the one where Picard had a whole alternate life? No, it's the one where that woman just wanted Data to let her watch him poop. Was that the A story? It was the A, B, and C story. It was a bottle episode. One unbroken take of a woman convincing Data to let her watch him poop.
She had so much power
and then just let me see your
whoever it is, Alex Kurtzman or whoever the person was.
Yeah.
At that time.
Patrick Stewart directed this episode, right?
Oh. Let's get into it.
I think he did because it definitely...
It's unknown to me.
Okay.
But that's Veronica's job is to find... Oh, we have a Skylar. We have a Skylar now. Skylar has looked it up.
Okay. And he's confirmed. Season 7, episode 6, Phantasms. The crew help Data investigate when his dream program suddenly begins generating nightmares, which make him act strangely. Meanwhile, Captain Picard attempts to avoid attending a boring Starfleet banquet. Sorry.
Did you get emotional?
I just those were the longest description ever. It was like four lines. I'm just like,
you made it through it. Yeah.
I'm tired.
That was a lot. It was unfair to ask you to do that. I must ask you to stop. Veronica says to the description.
Yes. For your own safety.
Well, I love that cold open too, Alice. First of all, it's stylistically just visually weird enough that something's up immediately. Like the initial shot of Data walking, when I was like, something's up with this.
Yeah.
And really the plot of the entire episode is in that cold open. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be expanded from dream symbols into reality.
Yep.
But that's the whole episode.
That's the whole episode. Yeah. And I love also that Data says to those workmen, like, excuse me, you are not authorized to work in this sector. Like, it's great because you could see a TV show doing that with any human person saying something like, oh, I'm going to be extra weird and formal right now because I'm in a dream. But that is how Data would react to that in real life. So
he'd be like, who are you?
Elegant. But
it seems
he always starts with politeness no matter what. And then the next part of this episode I wanted to highlight and show is that so there's been a running thing with Geordi where he can't get a date. And nobody ever goes out with Geordi, and he keeps falling in love on the holodeck, and like they're never into him. And
he's not even like in love in the holodeck. He's like in love with a Wikipedia of a woman that he gave her
he
a
falls
body.
In love with a Wikipedia of a woman. Ben Rogers described him as only falling in love with hard light women.
And now this woman's into him, and he's rejecting.
And she's incredible. Like she's perfect.
She's just like, I'm here. I'm ready. I like you.
I feel like I got to stand up for the man. You don't know her. Maybe the personality's not right.
Maybe.
I've also noted that I am spending an inordinate amount of time thinking about nightmare imagery.
I love how annoyed Geordi is.
One could almost say I am.
This whole series is interesting.
Well, it's perfectly normal.
Because they keep just moving from station to station to continue the conversation.
Commander LaForge?
Speaking of
nightmares. He called her a nightmare.
I just finished recalibrating the starboard EPS module.
That's great, Ensign. Thank you.
It's just like you said.
She's
reset the power tap, and the module came right online. You have such a wonderful grasp of engineering principles.
And you don't.
I'm learning so much just being around
already.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you help Farrell check out the deuterium cartridges? I'm just about to bring the warp core online, all right?
Anything you say.
She's a good actor.
Yeah.
Usually Geordi, do that. Just like take.
You do not seem to appreciate Ensign Tyler's enthusiasm.
She's enthusiastic, all right. About me.
Damn, dude. Damn, dude.
I know.
It's like too cool to
understand.
Be someone.
Then
I don't know.
She's got a crush on me, Data. You do not share her affection.
She's holding an iPhone.
Exactly, and quite frankly, it's beginning to get a little bit uncomfortable.
Is that a T-Mobile sidekick?
I believe I understand. You are concerned about
unintentionally hurting Ensign Tyler's feelings.
Yeah, something like that.
Like,
then let me just move over here and we'll keep talking in a second.
He's got to get his work done.
I don't know. That's a Patrick Stewart decision. We're going to break up the conversation.
Maybe this is my other, I can't remember, maybe this is my other nitpick with the episode. Is it like, maybe pick somebody who's not a total babe then, if you're going to have, you know what I mean? Like, maybe pick someone kind of unpleasant seeming or who has... It's
creepy,
you know what
like,
I mean? She's
in their
a creepy
or
look
something.
Or just like coming on way too strong. But this girl's just like kind of cool and seems to appreciate him for who he is. And like,
the,
she's the really
writers,
beautiful.
Also, the writers made her like annoying in a way that's dumb. Because it's like,
you know how a girl is like annoying because she's super hot and she just talks to you. And everybody's like, no.
Yeah. She compliments you and she solves problems.
She's just like, talking like the most basic language, like you're so good at engineering concepts. Like, he's the chief of engineer in the flagship.
Well, they gave her shitty dialogue,
and she's there, and she it works there. Like, she's there for.
Like, you think she might be a spy?
Writers, come on.
I think it's better that she's attractive and cool because it makes him look more of a scared nerd. Because if you make her like this true pain in the ass, you'd be like, oh, great, writers. One of your women is the damsel in distress, and the other woman is this annoying, unattractive person who's hassling the smart guy.
See,
this way, it looks more like Jordy's missing out. Like, we, the audience, are like, you're missing out.
I don't
dude.
Feel like it's like I feel like they did a disservice because I feel like it's not like that. I feel like, well, A, I always feel like Jordy's like cool. He can't seem like a nerd to me just because LeVar Burton is like incapable of not having like a little bit of like he has a confidence that is pretty infectious, and like every scene he's in he's like, well, Data, you know, he's got this like. And then also like I would say it would be better if the girl was like, it'd be more fun at least for me to play a really annoying character.
Yeah,
that they usually don't write women being annoying in that way. They either write them as being like Luxana Troy, like they're annoying because they're not fuckable and they're old, or they're you know, like.
But now you're getting into like, are there male characters who are like annoying in a fun way? Like, I feel like they don't do quirky very
Barkley.
Well.
They were like, they were so set on having Jordy reject this woman that they made her gorgeous, engineer. Black, and they were still like if he said no, it's like it's,
yeah,
but why do they have him do that, like when he's or only dated holograms? It's so like,
I really wish he would have said that. He's like, yeah,
like literally if in the 90s they were gonna have him kiss someone, it was gonna be another
he's
black
like,
girl,
not my type, you know what I mean? What do you mean too young? Is it what human
real
kind of
actually interesting?
She's
she does
she's
know who
real.
You are.
She exists. I don't like my ladies to follow me outside the holodeck, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, he's non-committal. What can he do?
They also really don't follow up that C story.
I know. All. I'm like,
yeah, there's no resolution to it.
And it's all the resolution I need from Star Trek is anything that has to do with like a little flirting, a little romance, a little horny, like.
Yeah, he should sleep with her at the end. That's what should happen. They should fall madly in love and fall into each other's arms.
I just
arms
want it to be a whole episode.
Yeah.
So let's see Cake Troy, I guess. No?
It's like too epic of an image. We have to see it.
It's too epic of an image, so we have to see it.
You heard it here. If it's too epic, you have to look at it.
Oh, I have. I figured it out. I can see.
We'll describe it.
I can share just this. That's good. Worf's eating a
delicious cake.
What kind of cake are you eating?
It is a cellular peptide cake with mint frosting.
It sounds like it's so disgusting. It sounds so disgusting.
No, mint frosting on a cake is no good.
Cellular peptide with mint frosting?
Excuse me, Mr. Worf.
Wow.
Me flirting?
Sucking somebody's brains.
Aren't you going to answer that, Mr. Data?
So
that damn ringing. Answer it, will you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, the miners have appeared again.
Please identify yourselves. I must ask what you were trying to ask.
Be quiet.
Amazing. So...
it's so gross.
Please, don't hurt me, Data.
So Troy is a cake.
I am sorry, Counselor.
No, don't. No, no! Data!
Data? Data!
So they're trying to wake him up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to narrate this for the listeners.
Should we be narrating it? I'm not sure if I should be interrupting
you. Yeah, narrate.
I've been trying to wake you for the last 5 minutes.
When you didn't show up on time in engineering, I got worried.
Data's nightmare grabbed him. He overslept.
My internal chronometer was supposed to wake me 35 minutes ago.
Android clock did no good. I'm curious.
You must have overslept.
Yeah,
oh,
Worf
really?
Is here to be the bad
it's
guy.
It's not possible.
That's goddamn right. Something's wrong.
It's funny that the android oversleeping is like the act break. It's like the android. Missed what time it was.
What? They're waking him up. They're waking him up after his time to wake up. And then Worf is like, you must have overslept.
It's like, well, that's obvious. He was asleep when we got here. Thanks, Worf.
Like, if you're going to give him a line, just be like, hi, good morning, Data.
What do you think about how in the dream you've got So in the dream, there's the workers, and they represent kind of the hidden enemy that Data's going to discover. Mm-hmm. But then also we see number one's brains getting sucked, Riker's brains getting sucked, and Troy.
Riker's brain is a party, man.
Yeah, Riker's brain is all confidence, baby.
All glow stick.
It's just a Gibson shaken, not stirred.
He's just like a lightsaber. Fun.
He's a fun lightsaber. He's a cool lightsaber, not like a square one, not like a nerd lightsaber. And then Worf is eating the cake of Deanna Troi, right? He's eating her body. So
Worf had tortured her previously, right?
Is that right? In another episode?
No. Sorry, I interrupted you. Keep going.
But also, you said something crazy. Where did that come from?
Yeah, Worf tortured Troi. What are you talking about?
Well, he already had cut the other armpit, and she's screaming when they cut her.
Yeah, but in a previous episode, you alluded to him having done something to her. No?
No, I'm not talking about
I misunderstood.
Because Worf already cut the cake.
He already has the cake, so it's implied that he's tortured Troi by cutting a piece of her.
Yes.
He's tortured cake Troi before we see him.
Okay.
But that means that Worf and the doctor, I forgot her name, the doctor who is sucking Riker's brains. Yeah. They are also representing the enemy forces. So the white dudes are being victimized by Worf and the doctor.
Oh.
You know, we already have these construction workers that are the enemy, but then we throw a couple of our crew people under the bus too.
Well, I think yes. I hadn't thought of it that way. Maybe an in-universe explanation is like in your dreams, people that you know often represent parts of you.
Yeah.
So because Data's not taking action to stop the enemies, he's
through
allowing...
Through inaction. Yeah, right.
Yeah, through inaction.
Yeah.
Great. Thank God we figured that out.
Okay, yeah, they're safe. Star Trek is safe. It's a really powerful dream. It's totally strange looking. It's like David... It's like a David Lynch sequence.
It's David
Lynch. It looks
like
something out of Twin Peaks.
It really is.
Even the construction workers look like something out of that recent season of Twin Peaks that was on Showtime and was totally nuts.
Oh, I hadn't seen it.
I hadn't seen that one.
It is not worth it. But there's one episode that's extraordinary, and there's these like weird construction worker people who show up.
So the whole time this is going on, Mr. I don't know what his name is, but he's like the general in the Starfleet that's like, hey, are you coming?
Yakamura, sorry. I think.
Yakamura is like, are you coming to this banquet? And he always like, Picard's thing is that he never wants to go to these banquets ever. And he's like always looking for an out. And he's like, so I can't miss this one because I always miss these banquets. Yeah. And so this time the warp core engine is failing because of what they later discovered to be these like space parasites. And they're
super gross. These like very vile looking.
They're
bugs.
Like giant melty caterpillars.
Cockroaches. Yeah.
Cockroach pillars. And
yes.
So like Picard has to have a conversation with the Yakamura, who is, I love this scene because he is so pressed about it. The guy is like, not at all accepting the fact.
Captain, incoming message from Admiral Nakamura.
On screen.
Admiral.
Captain, we were expecting you this morning.
So
is
pressed.
There a problem?
No, chill.
Actually, we have been experiencing a few minor difficulties with our new warp core,
frankly,
but my chief engineer assures me
friend.
That we will be underway within the hour.
You're not trying to avoid this particular engagement, are you, Picard?
No, certainly not. I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. I'll expect you soon. Nakamura out.
To be able to say Nakamura out?
I think he's on to you, sir.
The forge to bridge.
Go ahead, Geordi.
We've just started it up, Captain.
I
all
also want to play through
steady.
Because
ready when you are,
Ensign
sir.
Ensign Gates doesn't have any lines, but
set a course. And engage.
She's got a good facial journey.
Engineering, report.
The warp field has collapsed, sir.
It looks like we've blown the entire power converter, Captain. Impulse engines are down too. We're not going anywhere. But I know just how to fix this. Give me 2-3 hours tops.
Talk about going nowhere fast.
It's Worf.
Okay. Back to Nakamura.
Starbase 219. Advise Admiral Nakamura.
Oh my God.
He hates
I'll be a little
Nakamura
later than I thought.
Nakamura is going to be so fucking pressed when he hears. He's like, I just got off the phone with this motherfucker.
Nakamura
said he was going to be on his
Nakamura
way.
Is
he
was just not
Nakamura
buying
was
it.
Sitting on his side. He was just like.
He was already like, the warp core. Okay, cool. Oh, yes, it's broken, is it? Oh, I'm sure it's very broken. Get out of here! Like, it was so pissed.
This guy's got serious attitude. Like, we live in a universe where, like, a Borg can show up and assimilate half your crew. And this dude doesn't even think to ask, like, is there a Borg?
Is
this
everything
a Q
okay?
situation?
Do you have a space parasite?
We live in a world where every week something insane happens. So just like ask first, like what insane thing is going on? Then
he's
then
like,
you can
I
lean on your side and get.
Specifically scheduled this where there was no Borg around. So.
Oh, I don't see a Borg. So why aren't you here?
Like, I bet he went through the trouble to scan the perimeter of where the ship was to make sure there wasn't anything just so he could show up with attitude.
No Borg, sorry. Already scanned. I think you knew about this banquet. Like, how did that? He's ranked. This guy's a military officer. He probably saw battle. Do you think he had that much attitude when he was just like an ensign and like on a starship? Like in some, was he like
Nakamura? Like, where's Captain Jones? He's dead. Because it's like kind of ridiculous.
Beam me up. I'm done. He's got insane attitude. I also was reminded watching this episode of how bad the like in universe jokes are, the things that are supposed to be
really
jokes
bad.
Between people.
Yeah.
Like, what did Riker say to Picard there? It's like, I guess. We're
guess
going
he's on
nowhere
to us.
Fast.
Oh yeah, we're going nowhere.
We're going nowhere fast.
As if that's like a really funny comment. I feel like turning to him being like, "Yeah, I know, Riker.
Like,
Jesus,
that's not helpful.
That's yeah. That's no new information.
All heard it.
Yeah, we're right here. Right.
Just like sidebars about what just happened. With some
wait.
Step over here. Looks like we're stuck here for a couple. Yeah, I know, Riker. Jesus.
Hey,
you don't
come
need
over
to
here.
Tell me.
You're like 20 feet away. Can you just yell it?
We're all friends. Let everybody hear.
We're all gonna hear you.
They're
here. Right,
no,
I'll say it. This is a command thing.
Here we go. I guess we're going nowhere fast. It's like that's it. That's what you had. That's your comment. Yeah.
Can I talk to you in the ready room?
Yeah.
He makes
what was his earlier one that you remembered,
room.
Alice?
What? What earlier one?
Hmm? Yeah, he had one earlier. Like I guess we're stuck here, or I guess.
That was regarding
when what
I don't remember. It was just
Riker had
Riker's
an earlier one like that.
At is this the episode where Riker says is talking to Worf about Alexander's flute?
No.
Okay, because that's in the previous episode that we just watched where Worf is like upset because Riker gave him this flute. And he's like, yeah, he's just playing the same note over and over again. It's like he doesn't have any discipline. It's all over the place. And it doesn't even sound like it's like the worst music I've ever heard. And I think Riker said, like, it's not just music. It's jazz. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like you're really not selling jazz right now.
That's a tough line. That's a tough line as an actor to give off. You got to have that Star Trek smugness.
You got to be Frakes. Because Frakes is just pure light and joy. And he just can't. Ugh.
He's so
interested in seeing, like, when Troy and Data meet each other the next act.
In the elevator?
When he stabs her.
Oh, spoiler! I'm just kidding. Yeah. I did want to watch this scene of everybody in engineering trying to get Picard out.
2 hours ago.
So Picard's like really anxious about this warp core thing, and he's a bug up everybody's ass in engineering.
What about the relays? Are you absolutely certain that you don't need a new phase inverter?
I am currently running a level 3 diagnostic of the relays, sir. We will have the results of the analysis in approximately 10 minutes.
I see.
The way he wanders from station to station. Meanwhile, Geordi notices, or Data notices that knife from the cake.
Yeah, the knife that was in his dream.
Why do they have a knife in engineering? Why are they like?
You gotta cut stuff sometimes. It's like a Swiss Army knife, Leatherman situation.
These isolinear chips.
No, sir. Please don't touch that.
I love meddling Picard.
Captain, Commander Data and I have the situation under control. Now, if you just let us take care of it, the work would go much faster.
Captain. We could use an extra hand moving the containment pods.
She's even saving Geordi here.
Oh, no, not at all. I'd be delighted.
Good work, Tyler. Thought he'd never leave.
Like,
yeah.
Why
isn't
he in love with her? She's the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah. She just saved the day. Came along, got rid of annoying Picard.
She intuitively knows his needs. I like don't get it. So upsetting.
Yeah. He could have been flirty after, you know?
But it's also so fucking cute that Picard won't get out of engineering. So adorable.
Trying to help.
All right, this is the next scene. I should have just kept sharing, but you know, I was worried.
Get your comments in.
I had to get your comments in, and I can't do that without seeing your entire faces.
I want you to give me hand locking down this plasma conduit.
Data just up and left.
Data?
Some laughs, or
it's fun to do that in the long silences.
So Troy's walking alone. She feels like somebody's following her. We're sneaking up on her like POV, serial killer style. She's surprised, but there's nobody there. Jump scare.
Deck 36.
Yeah. Data's dead.
Data's coming in Jack Nicholson style.
Data.
Real shiny.
Right at her tits. Never
Are you
good.
Right?
Stares at her.
Psycho knife raising.
Hold very still, counselor.
So, from that scene...
Ever since you gave Alexander that music program, he's been playing it all night. Every night.
Right, right.
Just wanted to broaden his horizons. Besides, he likes it.
It is screeching, pounding dissonance. It is not music.
Or if it's better than music, it's jazz.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come and find Data.
Better than music, baby. It's jazz.
Medical emergency, deck 17, section 3.
Wait, okay, so that implies that jazz is not music.
Yeah.
It's better than music.
Also that, like, Riker is supposed to be so hip to jazz, and we're just supposed to picture him in his quarters, like, snapping his fingers to a lot of cool jazz? Is that what we're learning there?
He's a trombonist. Also, he loves jazz.
He is. And jazz has survived to whatever century.
So let's just say that
they're like Data, jazz is like cockroaches.
Data stabbed Troy twice. Once in the back by going to Freud, and then once in the front.
There it is. Facts, sister. Yeah. Face. Facts.
Yeah. Hello. Troy is disrespected. No,
what are you saying? What, like, I'm your friend. I am a therapist.
Yeah, because when he was meeting with her in her office, she was like, next time go to see me before you see Freud. And he's like, okay. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, she got a little Nakamura with him.
Well, a little bit, because I was surprised she didn't.
Freud is this dude who, to me, is already antiquated. Like, and then he goes to, like, the oldest earth therapist that, like, is...
Like, it's like if your family had a wedding offensive. And they were like, we need an MC, somebody who does comedy, and you're like, oh, I could do it for free, and they're like, no, we got a hologram of George Burns or something, and you're like, what? Like, why? I do it. I know you guys. It's so shitty.
I mean, at least Freud sucked and Troy is good, right? I mean, like, Freud's advice is stupid and Troy has good advice for him.
Until the dream itself, which Data's version of Troy came up with an answer, but it was only because it was the Troy and, I mean, Data's version of Freud, but it was because it was the Freud in Data's brain.
We have to remember that's Data coming up with the answer.
Data's answers.
So it's still in his brain. He's like subconsciously being like, Freud is better to represent.
He picked Freud to give the answer and not Troy.
And then after that, we have the best scene in any episode of Star Trek.
And then he stabs her in the front.
That's like a little overhyping.
We'll see.
I'm ready.
Of course.
Do they put Data in his quarters? They take away his blaster or whatever it's called?
Sidearm.
Phaser.
Blaster. You might want to give me your sidearm and your blaster.
May I ask a personal favor?
Yes.
Will you take care of Spot for me?
Your animal.
I'm afraid so
Data's
if I
giving
a waking
his
dream,
cat to Worf.
I might injure him.
Of course. Spot, come here.
Unlike a canine, Spot does not respond to verbal commands. Goodbye, Spot. He will need to be fed once a day. He prefers feline supplement number 25.
I understand.
And he will require water. And you must provide him with a sandbox. And you must talk to him. Tell him he is a pretty cat. And a good cat.
I will feed him.
Perhaps that will be enough.
Man, Worf does not feel comfy with that cat. That is a perfect scene. I agree. It's pretty perfect.
It's Captain. Incredible. It's
He's like, a pretty cat. A good cat.
Yeah.
Tell him he is a good cat. Tell him he is a pretty cat.
Yeah.
I will feed him.
So good.
And also,
Worf holding that cat is hilarious.
It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful that he asked Worf to do it. It makes no sense. There's so many people who could look after the cat. Like, Worf always gets stuck with the stupid cat.
That was so heartwarming. It's so
when
beautiful.
When he says, Spot, come here.
Yeah, she'd be like, you know what? Never mind. I'll get somebody else.
Exactly.
Not you. It's okay.
At that point, it's like,
thank you.
I'd be like, yeah, you don't have to do it, man. Okay.
It's all good. Thank you anyway. I'll find one of the other 300 people on this ship to watch.
So many people. Maybe
they won't attack it.
Oh, you know who would do it is the girl who has a crush on Geordi. Because she'd be like,
she'll
save
the
day. Then tell him how great I am.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's that enemy. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh, I love that. This fills me with so much joy. So then they have to discover that they, you know, it's not only that Consular Troy's been stabbed, but she's also has something growing in her. And then Beverly has, in a sort of not Beverly-like stroke of genius, discovered that they're growing everywhere and isn't panicking about it because she's a cool as a cucumber doctor. And there's like these disgusting caterpillar cockroaches all over everybody.
I'm surprised at how vile they look. Like, they're super gross looking.
Well, they probably don't look that gross to each other. We look gross to them.
I doubt it. I think we look good to them.
Well, we look delicious. But there's one other aspect of this episode that, like, I was a little tiny bit disappointed with, but not really. Maybe not really. I'm on the fence about it. But, like, usually when something like this happens and they discover another species, they're like, wow, what is this species? And let's figure it out and, like, see if we can help it. And this time they're just like, nah, it's bugs. Let's kill them.
Yeah, let's kill it. Yeah. Yeah, there's
like,
no
empathy
for them.
They don't know what it is, where it came from, why it exists. They're like, ugh, gross, space bugs.
Yeah, step on them.
But they also, this is the other thing, they like, what we could do is like go inside Data's brain in the holodeck and like watch his dreams. So it's like, that's
we'll
a technology that we just have.
We can just watch Dream, but I guess because it's Data, right? Only
because it's
Data.
Yeah. So even that,
we couldn't
isn't
like watch
even...
Riker's dream.
No. Yeah. Which like, at first I was like,
I if someone was like, "Do you want to come to the holodeck? We're gonna see one of Data's dreams." I'd be like,
"Really?
I'll do it later."
I'll do it later. Just say no. Just say no. Just say you don't want to do it.
Send me a file.
This is so you, like, being Venezuelan. Like, yeah, I'll see you there later. And we're like, you're not coming. So
yeah, we're not going to see her.
We're not going to see her.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Right. Yeah, no, I'll be there. I'll be
just
there.
Say no. We know you're not interested. It's okay.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go. Just don't wait for me.
What does that mean?
Don't expect me, but I'll go. That's more relaxed for me. Yeah. It's easier.
You have to leave all options open.
Yeah.
My boyfriend does do that. Garrett does do that a little bit. I wonder if it's another thing you have in common with him. It just like has to constantly leave all the options open.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
say no sometimes.
Then I feel like, why are you doing this to me? I don't know. I just rather
asking
know
you
that
to
I
hang out.
I don't know. I'm non-committal that way. It's kind of hard. Yeah.
For people in your circles.
But options open, and then I get mad when people are like have options open.
Yeah.
depending on the person. So I wanted to be like, Picard was like, hey Data, so we connect to the holodeck and we'll watch the thing and see what happens. And he's like, okay. And Picard is like, I hope you have nightmares. And Data's like, okay. And then he's like, later he says it again, like, I hope your dreams are bad. I wish I could wish you. Like, he's just like.
Yeah.
Getting off.
I'm related to Data's neural net.
He keeps saying it.
Ready, Mr. Data?
Yes, sir.
Normally, I would wish you pleasant dreams, but in this case, bad dreams would be more helpful.
I understand, sir. Initiating dream program. Stand
by. Every time I go to sleep now, I'm going to say that.
Initiating dream program.
Stand by.
Frankly, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to copy you and do it. It just seems like the best.
I like how he's like, normally I would say pleasant dreams. Really? Why would you say that? You're never near me at bedtime.
But I'm saying, like,
it's not a thing that we do.
You didn't have to say that last thing again. We already know. Like, you're hoping me to have nightmares.
Again.
Yeah, I get it.
Dream it terrifying before. Stuff. So,
yeah, then
is it okay if I'm on. Like, ooga booga? Is that good? Yeah. Should I do that?
I just have to wish it.
Think about Nakamura.
Yeah, Nakamura shows up in the background. Could we get to it, please? You seem to be bantering a lot when we could be getting to the banquet.
This is you right now. This is you. We need it to, okay.
Keep it going.
Banquet.
I'm tapping my chronometer.
I wonder if there's somebody else that Nakamura wanted to invite, but that he can't because Picard's taking up all the time.
Yeah, he's mad at him. He wants to invite Tyler. He wants to invite the woman who's in love with Geordi. It's a big triangle.
Oh, like, I want to see that episode with the characters we don't have any relationship to.
Yeah.
So they go inside the dream. Troid's there. Everybody's there. The whole gang's there.
Yeah, very Wizard of Oz.
And Data figures it out, basically. That's the end of it. And they're like, yeah, we got to emit this high frequency sound. And that is what is going to kill them, which is just like, great. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And they just do that. And they're like,
and
okay,
it solves all the problems in the show. The engine starts working. They're not sick anymore. His dreams go away. Geordi starts being nice to the beautiful woman.
Does
Nakamura
he?
Nakamura chills. No, he doesn't. I'm not kidding.
See, that doesn't happen.
That doesn't get resolved. That doesn't get resolved.
And then, sorry, Troy does this really weird thing with the cake at the end.
Yeah.
Which is like.
It's because he's like.
Weird baking passive aggression. He's playing with Spot. It's a different cat.
Enter. Counselor. I did not have a chance to apologize for my actions.
Data, don't worry about it. Geordi explained everything to me. It wasn't your fault.
In fact, you were trying to save my life. It was a huge space cockroach on me.
But somehow I thought turnabout would be fair play, so...
She's
I made us a little
cake.
Something to snack on.
What does it look like? Big reveal, end of the episode, big finish.
Amazing.
Data cake. And then she chops his dick right off. That's the weird thing. She goes right for the dick.
And this is like...
I wonder, what would Dr. Freud say about the symbolism of devouring oneself?
She's like, enough acting,
Data.
Asking Freud.
I know.
I'm right
sometimes
here.
A cake this is just a cake.
I don't want you to ever liquor. Bring up Freud again.
This cake.
A good response to that line from Data would just be to cut off the cake head.
This cake is enzymes and licorice.
I don't know which cake I want to make first. The cake of where I put my head through and I'm like, don't eat me. And it's my body.
Yeah.
Or just the data cake. But I'm going to make them.
Data cake.
I'm definitely making myself with a Will head and a Deanna Troi body. That's what I'm doing.
No.
Yeah.
It has to have the hair. It has to have all the hair.
The Deanna Troi hair. And you can make it out of licorice.
Gosh, I'd love to have that hair.
Really? That long, luxurious? Like,
yeah.
Would you, if
awesome.
You had hair, you would you have long hair?
If I had hair again, if I regained the ability to have like a full head of hair, I would go nuts. Like I would really let it go.
Don't you think that it would be like, yeah, you'd go nuts for like a month and then you'd be like, ugh.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 months. I'd shave it right back to where it is now.
Well, it takes more than a month.
The second armpit hair you find, because what happens is the hair clings to your shirt and then somehow always travels into this zone and sticks to your shirt in here, and then it tickles your arm.
Yeah, it always happens.
Always. And
or
you're always like,
and
you can't find it. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's the worst. And you're just like,
someone's tickling you all day.
Someone's tickling you all day is what's happening.
But it's just your hair.
This to me is like pornography. Like thinking about having long hair and having it tickle my own armpit. This is like exciting. I'd love to have this kind of problem.
We don't judge anybody's kinks here at Treks in the City. anyway, it's been great having you. Is there anything that you would like to plug on your way out the door? On your way out the Puerta Abierta?
Puerta Abierta?
Puerta Abierta. I'm going to play a gong sound, but go ahead.
Good. Okay, I'm going to plug... The dumbest thing ever. My friend and I, Joel Spence, who Alice knows, we made an album. We made an album of music, and it's called Turn It Up, and it's available on Spotify and Apple Music and everywhere, and it's just the songs, very much like They Might Be Giant songs, and I'd like everybody to listen to it. It's called Turn It Up, and the band is called Wayne and Rodney. That's all.
It's fantastic. Turn It Up.
Thank you. Thank you.
By Wayne and Rodney.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my
I can't
point.
Wait to listen to it.
Ooh, yeah.
Is it on Spotify? Can we get it?
Yep. Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, it's everywhere. Bandcamp, Tidal.
Oh my God, amazing.
Lyrics and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. We really did it. We love music. And so we just made. Yeah. That's the first track.
Awesome.
Julie, do you like me?
This is so good.
Like my shitty body. Do my poorly fitting blue jeans make you smile?
Pretty catchy, right?
Like it's very catchy.
Does my poetry depress you?
This slaps. It's like They Might Be Giants and Weezer.
I think it slaps.
I've never been the most pragmatic.
This is the only song where I am playing guitar. That's why it's bad.
It's
every other track
it's
Joel
lo-fi.
Plays.
It's lo-fi.
The future feels so far away.
All right, well, we're going to go out on this song.
Thanks so much for listening.
It's so great. Thanks you, Will.
You's welcome.
We'll talk to you next time on Checks in the City.
This is so good.
Bye.
Congrats.
Do you like my lousy paintings? Do my poetry impress you? Can I stay at your place?
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.